This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It is December 13th, 2017. Welcome to Bicycle Talk, this week with my co-host, Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, you can call or text us right now at 860-486-9487. Or you can email me at BicycleTalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. You can also visit Bicycle Talk on Facebook. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. If you would like to contribute to the show or be a guest, please contact me at BicycleTalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. And of course, remember, you can, if you're listening to us on podcast, you can contact me that same way. I'm going to start out with Ron's rant of the week, and this is an interesting one because what I did was I posted something on Facebook on the Bicycle Talk site, and it was a discussion that occurred with a fairly famous person in the bicycle world who talks a lot about bicycles and how they're going to change the world and make everything better, and I'll discuss him in a little bit. But the question is, helmets, do I wear one or do I not? Yeah. Well, there's some controversy out there about this because there's talk, and this is if you dig around and do some research on this, you're going to find that there are definitely some controversial comments that are made about this. There's a concern that the helmet, and let me start this out by, I wear my helmet, I wear it faithfully, I believe in wearing my helmet. That's the way I roll, and that's what I would probably encourage. And if you're going to ride your bike with me, I'm going to really encourage you to have a helmet on. So that's my opinion. But the rant is about helmets. Do I wear one or do I not? Well, guess what? There's a problem. There's apparently a problem with helmets being a there are neck injuries that are related to helmets because the helmet sticks out a little bit. It's a little bulbous on your head. And if you go down in a very fast wreck, you can actually wrench your neck and you can cause a very serious problem by doing that. So that's part of it. The other part of it is that people that are wearing helmets are feeling like they're completely secure now because they have their helmet on. So they're okay. It's like you put your seatbelt on and you have airbags in your automobile and you feel like you're invincible. Well, the statistics show that you're not invincible, that you can get in an accident in either way, and you can get hurt either way. But so the rant of the week is going to be on this controversy about whether or not I should wear a helmet. I of course put a video out on the Facebook page, on Bicycle Talk Facebook page, and it was a TED Talks. And the TED Talks, this was a Mikael Colville Anderson, and he's a strong advocate for cycling, but one of the title on this is Why We Shouldn't Be Wearing a Helmet. So there's, and if you listen to what he has to say, you have to listen to the whole thing. It's a bit of a video. It's kind of a cool thing. I definitely would consider taking a look at it. It is on my Bicycle Talk Facebook page, so please check it out and see. So I post it, and my friend Billy immediately says back to me, do you really want to open this can of worms? I ride with a helmet. If you want to ride with me or my team, you must wear one, period. So, and I agree. I totally agree with him. I'm there. My friend Justin out in Oregon says interesting arguments. People have less fear of bikes. They ride more and society is healthy. I can see that in a city with bike infrastructure. So, yeah. And then I talked to other people like my friend Tony out in Hartford says that city slow riding is different than racing. Cars are also going much slower. If the streets are designed properly and appropriately, when more people walk and bike, the infrastructure is designed for all users, everyone is safer, even without helmets. So there's a lot of discussion going on out there. Pretty much everyone who wrote me back on the Facebook page, they all wear their helmets, so that's a good thing. But Let's open this discussion a little bit more and make sure that you go to the Facebook page and make your comments, or you can comment at bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. I'd love to hear your views on this. So, on a positive side, I talked a little bit about this last week because there was going to be a presentation with the League of American Bicyclists for the town of Mansfield. So on a positive side, I'm going to say it. The presentation happened on Monday night. The town of Mansfield, Connecticut, has we have a big, big shout out here to Bike Mansfield for making Mansfield, Connecticut, one of the 500-plus communities in the United States designated as bike-friendly by the League of American Bicyclists. So there's our positive side. It's a good thing. Let me tell you, the Bike Mansfield put a lot of time into this, and I think they got rejected the first time they put a proposal in, and then it came back, and they did their homework, and let me tell you, it's a lot of homework. If you want to make your town bike-friendly, you got to go through a lot to do it, but again, you also have to do some things that make your town bike friendly also. So there's a lot of work involved with it, but it's a good thing because it'll bring more awareness to your community on bicycles and the bicycle safety and the fact that bicycles belong in your town as well as anywhere else. So we'll move forward here to the maintenance minute, and since My show is going to be really all about helmets today. We're going to talk about helmets a lot because it's something that it's a good subject. There's controversy involved. There's positives and negatives. There's a lot of information here to talk about. So my maintenance minute is going to be on how to properly fit a bicycle helmet. Okay, very, very simple. This comes from helmets.org. a website that is all on bicycle helmets. So the short version here is that helmets are not hats. They must be level on your head and strapped securely to be protective in a crash. You want to wear your helmet to be level on your head with the fitting pads inside touching all the way around and the strap comfortably snug. So if your helmet is a true fit, then adjust the chin strap. So first of all, you want to make sure that it's going to fit properly. So you adjust the fit pads or the ring in the inside. So the older helmets, a lot of the older helmets have fit pads, foam pads that go into the inside. They come in different thicknesses depending on your head size and how it's going to fit inside of that helmet. A lot of the newer helmets actually have a ring which wraps around your head, similar to a hard hat. And the helmets kind of suspend on your head, but you still do need that padding that will make it a lot more comfortable. So you want to make sure that you get the fit pads just right because, let's face it, folks, not all of our heads are Charlie Brown. They're not all round, and they may be oval, or they may be like mine where it's kind of flat in the back from when I was a little baby. Things like this happen. We have some abnormalities, and sometimes you have to put different pads in different areas inside your helmet. So you want to make sure you get that part right first. So when the helmet sits on your head, sitting level on your head, it feels right. It just feels like it's very comfortable, and it's not annoying to you. And then from that point, once you've put it on, level on your head, you adjust the rear straps and then the front straps. And a lot of the new helmets, once again, have a ring on the side that I like to, when I adjust the strap, I like to put that little ring directly underneath my earlobe or underneath the person's earlobe that I'm adjusting the helmet on. When I do that, then the straps are going to pull both equally from the front and the back, and that's going to keep the helmet from tipping forward or backward while you're riding it. I see so many people riding with their helmets not adjusted properly, and you know, that's fine, but it's not a fashion statement. It's a protective device, and you want to fit it on there right, because if you should have the misfortune of being able to use that helmet, you don't want it to move around when you fall on it. You want to make sure that it stays in the position it's supposed to be in, and it gives you that full protection. And that goes with the next the item on the list here: adjust the chin strap so it's comfortably snug. And this one, when I adjust these chin straps, especially if I'm helping out at like a bike rodeo or something like that where there's kids involved, boy, they just don't like me because I want that thing snug. I want it to really not choke them, but choke up on the chin so that it is a very snug feel. You'll get used to it. You'll get used to it like you get used to your bike seat. You'll get used to it like you get used to a lot of things. But you want that chin strap snug enough so that it doesn't wiggle around or dangle underneath your chin. So you want to make sure that's right. And then it says here, are you done? Shake your head violently. Then put your palm under the front edge and push up and back. If you can move the helmet more than an inch or so from level, exposing your bare forehead, then you need to tighten the strap in the front or of your ear. Now reach back and pull on the back edge. Can you move the helmet more than an inch? If so, tighten the nape strap. When you're done, your helmet should be level and feel solid on your head and be comfortable. It should not bump onto your glasses. If it does, tighten the nape strap. If it does not fit that way, working with the straps and pads, try another helmet. Another thing, I am going to do big shout out here to your local bicycle shop. This is where they can help you with this. They put a lot of helmets on a lot of people's heads all day long, all year long. And this is where you want to resource them. This is not a good item to be buying on the internet or online. This is a great item to go to your local bike store with. And they can help you with it, and even if you already have a helmet, it's not a bad idea to go to your local bike shop and just have them check and make sure it's correct, because a lot of times it's not. I do a lot of group rides with Fran, and we ride a lot, and we see a lot of different people out there, and I see a lot of helmets that are very, very poorly fit on the head. So my maintenance minute for today has been how to properly fit a helmet. So last week I ended the show with a teaser. Apparently we didn't get to it, and I got a couple of comments on this because I guess I said the right thing, but it was questions you were afraid to ask in Bicycling Magazine, and number six, the last question was, can I orgasm on the bike? Yeah, it came out. It happened. I got people commenting on it. Fran's banging her head over here. I would say that it's probably not a great subject to talk about, so we're not going to go there. I'm going to let you guys make your own decisions about this, and I'm glad I got so many cool responses on it.
We'll have a discussion about this.
We will have a discussion about this. We will. So anyway, just because I didn't want to leave you hanging, because we did ask that question, and I did have people come back to me and go, oh my God, how could you end the show on that? And that was just a great thing. So anyway, we're gonna move forward from that. Hey, it was discussed in Bicycling Magazine, so I take it right from them. We'll blame them for it. So let's talk helmets, all right? Let's talk about this particular gentleman, Mikael Corville Anderson, who is he is from Denmark, and he is a very strong advocate for cycling. I have watched a number of his YouTube videos and his TED Talks and listened to his TED Talks over the years. He has some very interesting information to share with you. If you want to know more, I definitely encourage you to check him out. Mikael has some controversial things that he talks about, and one of them is the helmet debate. And he has a very strong feeling, and I tried to find some facts on this, but he seems to feel that the automobile industry, the motorized vehicle industry, has really pushed hard to get people to wear helmets. And they are wearing helmets, and it's what they're doing is they're pushing people. They're saying that the automobile industry is trying to get people to wear helmets because therefore they will feel it is not safe to ride the bike. Therefore, they will not ride the bike. Therefore, they will buy automobiles, cars, and trucks instead. So the automobile industry, he feels, has some strong influence, some lobbying involved in this to get us all to ride with helmets. I don't have, like I said, I don't have that information. If anybody has that, please send it over to me, bicycletalk1@gmail.com. I would love to hear more about it. But ironically, countries with higher rates of cycling, helmets are rarely worn. So if we take a look at Europe, okay, let's look at all the European countries. They just really don't wear helmets over there that much, unless they are racing their bicycles, in which case they are made to wear them by the federation. The cycling federation makes it happen. So here in the United States, we have mandatory helmet laws in a lot of states. We require our children to wear helmets if they're 16 years or younger. So we are really pushing this hard, and yet the countries with the higher rate of cycling, helmets are rarely worn. The same countries that seek making bicycle convenient and safe through cycling infrastructure and policy, and that is the answer. The answer is not to put everybody in a helmet because they're all riding out on the roads, but to build an infrastructure that is going to be safer to ride on, and therefore you will have a lot less problems in as far as injuries go. There's also bicycle deaths and helmet use. There are a number of statistics out there on that. If you take a look at the number of crashes or deaths, I should say, you'll see that 60% are because of a head injury, head-related injury, 60, 62, 64, depending on the year. So there are a number of people that definitely had a problem because of that. Now, the ones that are wearing the helmets used, I'm going to go right to here's some stats from 2014. Helmets used of that, 16% were not wearing a helmet, and they had a massive head injury and therefore died from that. So obviously that 16% could have been saved if they had simply just worn their helmets, which would have been nice. It's a tough one. It's a real tough situation. And I think that I personally am a strong advocate for wearing a helmet. I think it's a very important piece of equipment, especially because our infrastructure here in the United States is not set up or conducive to safe cycling in heavy traffic situations, whereas I think it's getting a lot better. I think we're heading in the right direction, but it's definitely something that we need to take a look at. We need to make a safer infrastructure. That would be a much better thing to do than to require everyone to wear a helmet. So there's where there's so much controversy here. Mikhail Koval-Anderson says it's all about data. It's safe to say that there isn't any conclusive evidence that helmets help. The scientific community has been split down the middle for two decades. There are basically two camps, those who look at head injuries and look for ways to prevent them, and those who work towards getting more people to choose bicycle as transportation. So he's, again, I would encourage you to take a look at the TED Talks that I have posted on my Bicycle Talk Bicycle Talk Facebook page. It's it just opens some ideas, and it just opens your mind as to looking at things a little bit better. It might even get you to the point where you become a little maddened by the idea that, we don't put enough emphasis into our infrastructure for cycling here in the United States, and we really need to do that. This is something that we need to focus much more attention on. And, getting people to all wear helmets is great, but again, it does make you feel possibly a little overconfident and therefore feel safer and therefore maybe take a chance that you would not have taken should you not have been wearing the helmet. Again, very, very debatable moment. We really have to think about this. But I'm trying to open a discussion here. I'm trying to get people involved in this so they think a little bit more about, really, do I need this helmet? Do I not need this helmet? But let's go back to the helmet just for a moment. Something else that I didn't mention on the mechanical minute as far as helmets go is that should you use your helmet, should you use it for more than just putting it over your head and going out for a ride, but have the unfortunate problem of falling off of your bicycle and hitting your head with that helmet on. After you have done that, throw the helmet away. Get rid of it. Do not reuse it. Do not use it again as, it doesn't look bad. It's got a little scuff on it, but no big deal. Don't do it. Just don't do it. The helmet did what it was supposed to do. You got your money's worth out of it. But I spent $250 on that helmet. It's a really nice one. I don't care. I really don't care. You need to replace it because you've compromised the helmet. And there's a possibility that you've actually compressed some of the styrofoam that's inside the helmet. You may have cracked it without even realizing that you cracked it. If you did crack it, definitely throw it away. Or, you know, if you want to get creative and artistic with it, you can make it into a planter. You know, you can just hang it out on your deck and you can have a little dirt in the inside of it, have some flowers growing out of it. Be creative, be clever. Everyone that comes over to your house will look and go, oh, you must ride a bike. And it's just a fun thing you can do with it. And, you know, you can paint it different colors. You can do different things. But don't use it as a helmet anymore. You can use it for anything else you'd like. But please don't use it as a helmet any longer. So if you crash your helmet, if you have use for that helmet, it did its job. That's a great thing. Move on. Another thing I'm going to throw out there, and this is also a piece of interesting controversy, and sometimes those that are out there feel it is maybe fueled by the helmet industry, but you should replace that helmet after you've had it for 5 years. They say anywhere from 3 to 5 years is what I hear. What happens is we have UV rays, we have breakdown of the material that you're wearing on top of your head, and yeah, I know it's your favorite helmet and you really like it and they don't make it anymore. Buy a new helmet. Just buy a new helmet. It's certainly, or find some way of getting yourself on to a new helmet because you need to protect the head. If you're a strong enough believer that you're going to wear the helmet, please wear one that is at least current within the last 5 years. Because you are taking a chance. So the talk about that is that the helmet material will actually get denser. The foam, the styrofoam will actually get denser over the years. And the more dense it becomes, when you do have an impact, it will actually transfer more to your head. You want that styrofoam to be soft enough to break or dissolve or draw the impact away from your head. So as the helmet gets older, the styrofoam gets harder, and therefore you're going to have more of a chance of having a head injury if you were to hit your head with it. Again, our good friend Mikkel here, he said, mandatory helmets are basically bad marketing. We are telling people for the first time in 125 years since the bicycle was invented that riding a bicycle is dangerous. Promoting and legislating helmets to scare people off bicycles by focusing on the perceived negatives while completely ignoring the massive health benefits of the cycling population. So yeah, take a look at it. You ride your bike, you're healthy, you're fit, you're better off than most people are that are transporting themselves in a motorized vehicle because you are out there doing the health and fitness aspect. So you're actually increasing your chances of living longer by riding the bike than you are by being scared away by the fact that it's too dangerous to ride my bicycle. And it's not too dangerous to ride your bike. Statistics show from 2015, because that seems to be the latest ones that were out there, that 818 people died by riding their bicycles in the United States. And of that same number, traffic deaths were close to 40,000. So is it safer to ride a bike? Is it not safer to ride a bike? Well, it's certainly not safer to drive a vehicle, a motorized vehicle, because a lot more people die in motorized vehicles than die riding their bicycles. So the bicycle, I think, is a safer alternative. Now, someone had an argument with me the other day about this, and they said, yes, but less people ride bicycles than drive cars, so your statistics are wrong. And, you know, a point. It definitely is a point. Yes, there are less people that are going to be out there. They're doing less miles on a bicycle because our infrastructure is not set up for that. But at the same time, I'm going to take my chances. I would prefer to be on my bicycle if I could do it than to be in a motorized vehicle. I have a job which requires me to drive in lots of traffic all day long, and I can tell you right now, it is not safe out there. It really isn't. The reason why our cars are and trucks are built with all these safety mechanisms in them is because you're really taking a big risk when you go out there and you drive that motorized vehicle. On the bicycle, I feel like I have a chance because on my bicycle, I can choose the types of roads I want to drive on, and I can also I can avoid an awful lot of traffic by doing that, and I am very hyper aware when I ride my bike. I can hear traffic around me. I can sense things better. It's such a better experience when you're commuting on your bike or just traveling on your bike in any way, because you have a much closer sense of the world around you when you're on your bicycle. When you put yourself behind the closed doors of that four-wheeled vehicle that is, you know, super quiet and pretty much protected from the outside atmosphere, you don't feel or see or hear any of that. You just don't. You're not aware of what is truly going on around you. On your bicycle, it's like you have this panoramic view of your world around you. It's really, really a much better way of traveling if you can afford to do it. And I only say if you can afford to do it, not because of the financial commitment, but really the time commitment that's involved. Because you will take sometimes, not always, it will take you a little bit longer to get somewhere on your bicycle than it will when driving your car. Now, on the other side of that, we have to look at the fact that there are a number of people that will commute. And I know that I have a friend out in Eastford who commuted into the East Hartford area to go to his job every day. A shout out if you're listening. And he would drive his car in most of the way and then ride his bike when the traffic started to get really ugly and nasty. You know, the time when you're just sitting still and not going anywhere anyway, that's when he would pull over and he'd get onto his bicycle and he would ride his bike the rest of the way. Therefore, decreasing the amount of time it took from that point on in to his destination by simply riding the bike. So you got to think about it. There are ways of doing this, and there are ways of really, you know, beating the traffic, which is always a great feeling if you figure out a way to beat the traffic. So the I encourage you to go and check out that video. You want to check and see what Mikkel Andersen has to say. There are some good points that are made here, and I'd like you to just take a look at it. So there's there's another talk right here from treehugger.com, and this is a new study that shows mandatory bicycle helmet laws don't make a difference, but infrastructure does. So bicycle helmet laws, once again, here we go again. It's the same idea. And this is a site called treehugger.com. And it's finding a greener future. They've got a lot of different things in here, including, you know, transportation, technology, energy, living, design, all sorts of things. But they always have something to say about cycling. And this is a site that is out of Canada. And bicycle helmets, it says here, are mandatory in parts of Canada but not in others. Create an opportunity for researcher Kay Teske to associate and associates to calculate exposure-based bicycle hospitalization rates in Canadian jurisdictions with different helmet legislation and bicycle mode shares, and to examine whether the rates were related to these differences. So it's an interesting study because it shows basically the different numbers of people, the helmet use percentages that are on there, and you see, you know, youth age 12 to 17 and adults ages 18 and over, and you see it in different parts of Canada. So let it be said that right up front, we're not discussing whether you should wear a helmet or not. It's a matter of personal choice. And if you're like me, you can make a choice to either wear one or not to wear one. I like to wear my helmet. I don't think it's a bad idea. But, however, there are many studies that have shown that helmet laws keep people off of bikes, both by the inconvenience and the discomfort and by scaring possible riders. And that's why the debate should be about building a safer infrastructure, not arguing about helmets. So these are the things that you're going to find. Among the more surprising findings is how much safer women riders are. Females had a lower bicycling hospitalization rate than males. Analysis of all injured cases consists of the results found elsewhere and for other travel modes, an effect often attributed to conservative risk choices. So women are more careful than men are. And Fran is about to pipe in on this. Yes?
Women are statistically less likely to be in bicycle accidents than men?
Yes, that's true.
Okay. So,
this is for a Canadian report.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is this a numbers thing or a percentage thing?
I believe it's a percentage thing.
So, okay, because you know that there are less women, you know, in any given ride, there are usually less women.
Sure.
Less women ride bikes actively and aggressively than men in general. The sport is male dominated.
This is definitely a percentage thing. They're going.
If there's 100,000 men that ride bikes, you know, regularly in Canada, there's maybe 40,000 women, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what the split is. You know, what the percentage split is. So we're saying that that it's completely a percentage thing. So that if there's 10 women and 10 men riding bicycles, you're more likely to see only 2 of those women get into crashes and 6 of those men.
Right.
All right.
Because women are safer. They don't take the same risks.
No, it's true.
And I know women who take risks. Don't get me wrong here. There are definitely women that are willing to take more risks than I am when I'm on my bike.
I'm just thinking about the people we saw go down in the last couple of years, and I'm thinking about how many of them were women. And it seems like there were a lot of women that went down, and it wasn't just men. It was like, I don't know. I don't have a good stat on it, but it seems like it was 50. Like a bunch of women went down.
Mm-hmm.
And they are women who take risks or have, handling skill issues. And
sure. Sure. You know, and you're going to get that wherever you go.
But in general, they're saying that women tend to go down less frequently than the men do.
That is what they're saying.
All right.
This is a Canadian report. Okay. So maybe it's different here. Maybe it's different in your local area. That's quite possible. You can always write to us and let us know and see what you think. But I would say that that's probably correct because I know that the male species tends to be a little more aggressive sometimes in certain cases, especially when they're getting overly competitive with one another. And it just seems that way.
Yeah, we don't know any overly competitive women. There's just none. We that's not something we see.
We know a lot of overly competitive women. That is not the point here. You're arguing with me for the sake of arguing with me. We know a lot of people.
I'm just saying it's an interesting study because my observation, anecdotally, is that I know a lot of women who have gone down and are aggressive riders.
Yeah, I know. Well, grab the phone because someone's trying to get a hold of us, and I will talk a little bit more here from a website called cardiobrief.org, and it's apparently about cardio health, and the subject on this is the unintended consequences of bicycle helmets. We should encourage more people to cycle, not scare them away. This is from a cardiologist. Okay, so I have a caller who wants to give us some feedback here on the subject. I knew I'd probably get someone to pipe in on this one. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, this is Michael from Eastford.
There he is. I was talking about you. Did you hear me?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
All right. So Michael from Eastford is the one that I was just referring to as the partial bicycle commuter who would drive his car in a good portion of the way and then ride his bike the rest of the way when the traffic got ugly.
Yep,
am I correct on that?
67 on 84.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big parking lot.
Yes.
Commuter parking lot, and ride in from there.
Perfect.
So it's about 12 and a half miles each way.
So you get down the other side of the big hill.
Yes. I would have gone from Tolland, but you got to get over there.
Oh, that's a big hill.
It is a very big hill.
It is. And, you know, and I did that. I did that climb. I did the bike to work day ride the first year I did it. I had to climb up that at the very end of my bike to work day. And, of course, my bike to work day was not a normal bike to work day because I rode from my house and I rode into the Hartford area and rode back. So I had 102 miles at the end
Whoa.
Of the day. So it was quite a commute.
Whoa.
But at 80 miles, I was faced with that climb. And I wasn't real happy. But so I know that climb, and I know why you park on the other side of it. That would certainly make a lot of sense.
Otherwise, I would have done it. If there was a way around it or through it, I would do it.
No, that's a big one. It's definitely a big one. It hurts. There's no question about that. So, anyway, what have we got?
Yeah, let's weigh in on the helmet thing.
Yeah, please.
There are so many things that are involved with this. First of all, if you don't wear a helmet, in my opinion, since I'm a listener, I can say this, you're an idiot. All right. But there's also the educational factor. They're talking about differences, you know, whether it makes a difference or not statistically. A lot of it has to do with just educating people as to what happens if you fall and hit your head.
Oh, it's not good.
The amount of destruction that can occur, even a child on a small bicycle, it's not so much that it's dangerous, but there is an inherent risk. Just like downhill skiing. You know, when I first downhill skied back in the 1960s and 70s, nobody wore a helmet.
Right.
Right. You go to the slopes now, most people have helmets on.
Right. And then Sonny Bono ran into a tree, and that was a celebrity, into a tree, and then all of a sudden everyone's wearing helmets.
Yeah.
So you're right. You're right. When I was alpine skiing many years ago, there was not a helmet to be seen anywhere.
Right.
Right. So, and now it's just regular, you know, every day, everybody's got a helmet on. It's crazy.
Even if I'm cross-country skiing, I wear a helmet.
Do you really?
You're going pretty fast. And
wow.
You hit a rock or something. And mistakes happen. They're talking about infrastructure making a difference, which I totally agree with. However, it doesn't mitigate the need for the helmet. Because even if you're on a bike path and you're doing just 12 miles an hour, if for some reason you get a flat or something runs out in front of you and you spill and you hit your head, you could die.
Right.
Period.
Exactly. Exactly. And you probably don't even want to get me started on a bike path. I find them to be completely unsafe. But because our problem here with bike paths is that we don't have very many of them. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that use them. And they're not just used by bicycles. They're multi-use trails. So we're dealing with other factors like people that are out walking their dogs or mm-hmm. people that are out running on them. And you know, let it be said that that's a great thing. And I love the fact that people are using the trails that much and that are outside and doing that. But you do have to treat them with a certain level of respect. And you'll find that one of my big rants that I do, and I've done this a number of times on the show, is people who are racing on the bike paths just infuriate me.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's not the place.
Not the place at all. Mm-hmm. No, yeah. Do your time trialing someplace else.
That's right. That's right.
For sure. I have had the great misfortune, or fortune, I should say, in some ways, of unfortunately having to use my helmet. It's usually when other people do silly mistakes, like checking up quickly in front of me and then crossing my front wheel, which always seems to be the best one.
Oh, yeah. That's a big
one.
And
going down. And my last helmet that I hit with, it cracked in five places, clean through the helmet.
Right.
And
perfect.
I came up totally unscathed.
Right, because the impact of the crash broke the helmet, which meant all that energy went into the helmet and not into your head, which
That's
is a great
right.
thing.
Yeah.
The last major crash that I had, the same thing happened. My helmet broke. It definitely broke. And I had a lot of road rash, but I walked away without a headache. I walked away without any problems. So that's the good news.
For myself, I personally don't have a problem with mandatory helmet laws, but I think it needs to be, you need to add the education component as to why people need helmets, as opposed to, oh, somebody's just throwing another regulation at me. But you really need to look at the data in terms of what can happen to you in a fall. And accidents happen. I don't care how good you are, even if you're walking.
Sure. And the other thing to realize here, too, is when you go down, from someone who has had some experience with this, because I've been riding my bike for my entire life, when you go down, you don't always just hit your head the first time.
No.
You hit it multiple times.
Yes.
So because depending on the speed that you go down, you may be tumbling, you may be rolling, you may be sliding, you're going to hit your head more than once. So in that case, it's really important. Yeah.
All right, I just wanted to weigh in on that, and love the show.
Oh, thank you.
Keep wearing your helmet, people.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you all the way on that. And check your helmet occasionally to make sure that it is still safe. And
yeah. I don't replace them often enough. I'm guilty. But you reminded me I probably should go out and get a new one soon.
Yeah, you know, buy yourself the gift of life. It's
yeah.
a good thing.
Sure.
It's not a bad idea at all.
I got a new one this year. It's pretty. It's black with purple and pink on it.
You did get a new one. Yeah.
Fashion helps.
Fashion does help. It is no longer, like when helmets first came out, I don't know how long ago you remember helmets, but
I was racing with leather hairnets.
Okay, you're in my world.
Martinelli hairnet.
I have one still. I have it. It hangs downstairs in my family room as a decoration and a conversation piece. So people come over to the house and go, "What is that?" And that's my racing helmet.
I always tell people.
And they go, "What? Your racing helmet?" I said, "Yeah, when I race my bike, that's what I wore."
They bring it to the hospital.
Well, it makes you look pretty in the casket is what it does. And that's
then
about
I went
it.
To the Bell Brain Bucket.
Oh my God, the Bell Biker?
Yes.
Yeah, that thing was absurd. I'm
I
sorry. I was just about to bring that one up, actually. The Bell Biker was a, 3-pound helmet? I don't know what it was. It was really heavy.
Oh, my God.
And it was made out of a very, very thick plastic and of course, styrofoam in the inside. But I think they found the heaviest styrofoam they could find, if styrofoam can be heavy. And they put that in the inside because I guess they were looking for the impact resistance or whatever. And it was horrid. It was absolutely horrid, but a lot of people wore them. And if you pick up a copy of Breaking Away, and you'll see some Bell Bikers in there, and you'll see some other absurd helmets in there too, like the Skid Lid, which was another interesting helmet that had these four scalloped pieces that went up over the top of your head and allowed it so you'd have a lot of, you know, heat that could disperse from your head. But those helmets were actually, they were cutting people when they went down. And so you would get these.
The skid lid was that by not closing the gap at the top, that the energy would dissipate into the air. Through vibration.
Wow.
So that was one of the theories behind it, was to dissipate the energy better.
Was that theory or was that an engineering study?
Well, I think it was somebody's study that probably didn't have a lot of guts to it, let's say.
Yeah.
Of the things that I thought that was interesting that they used was the low rebound foam.
Okay.
So that it wasn't, you know, styrofoam certainly is much better at this point, but they really introduced that idea that you don't want the helmet to bounce your brain back inside of your skull.
Right. I mean, you take a look at all these football injuries, and there's, you know, the helmet technology that's in the football helmet right now is incredible because, you know, you don't want your brain bouncing around inside of your head, inside of your skull, and that's the problem that has been occurring over the years, and that leads to the traumatic brain injury issues later in life, so... It's, it's a sensitive subject, and, you know, the question is, am I safer without my helmet on? Am I safer with my helmet on? Again, I am one who wears my helmet faithfully. I don't go far at all. I have too many stories. I have a customer from my bicycle store when I owned my bicycle store that was out on the Cape riding on a rail trail on the Cape. And she just, her name was April, and she refused to wear a helmet because it didn't make her look good. And she was vain, and she didn't like that. And her husband, Jim, was a cycling advocate and, you know, rode bikes with me all the time. He came on all our evening rides from the bicycle shop. And he would beg her to please wear the helmet, please wear the helmet. And then finally they went away on vacation, and they went out to the Cape, and they had purchased a brand new bicycle helmet for her. And it was a good one, because that's what I sold. I sold good helmets. But anyway, it was a good helmet, and she got fitted for it properly, and she felt really bad about doing it. But Jim said he refused to ride with her unless she was wearing that helmet. Well, lo and behold, she hit some sand at about 10 miles an hour, not fast, didn't take much,
no.
Went down hard. And when she went down, the first thing that hit was her head.
Oh.
And she, it knocked her out. They called an ambulance. They brought her to the hospital. She had a severe concussion, severe. And she was unable to walk properly or ride a bike for 6 months.
Oh, my God.
At 10 miles an hour.
So that
prompted me to put the sign up by the helmet display in my store that said, think about it while you still can.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, I sold a lot of helmets. And it wasn't because I was trying to sell a lot of helmets. It was because I was trying to make people safer on their bikes. But now, you know, as you read more of this information about that, it's scaring people away from cycling. And
no, I
don't know if
I don't
agree
know
with that.
True.
Well,
I think it's more of a vanity thing than anything else. And it depends on how you educate people. There's inherent risk in anything you do in life. It's how you mitigate the risk.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you present the information to people properly, you're not going to scare them away. As a matter of fact, you're going to get more people on bikes.
Well, I'm in your camp, okay? So I totally agree with you there. But I talked to a couple of stores yesterday that I visited in my sales route, and they were talking about how road cycling is like in the dumpers right now around here. And
well, considering all the cars, I can see why.
And there you go. So now we're back into the same thing and I talked to one of the owners of the bike shops, and he said, I'm not riding on the road any longer. And I said, what do you mean you're not riding on the road any longer? And he said, I'll only use a bike path or I ride my mountain bike. And that's it. And I'm thinking, mountain bike? The times that I've broken my bones while riding my bike are all off-road, never on the road. And it's like, you know, I'm not going to go with that argument. You know, I find mountain biking to be, as much as it's a lot of fun, and I get it, and please, I'm not coming down on you for it at all, but I think it's not as safe as riding my bike on the road, quite honestly. I look at it the opposite direction because there's like trees and rocks and, you know, things that'll take your bike out very quickly. And it's scary out there.
Again, it's how you mitigate the risk.
Exactly.
And mitigating the risk on the road right now, I think, is more about making bicycle-friendly roads, having dedicated bike lanes, enforcing the law, setting up better infrastructure. I mean, there's that whole side of it that needs to be taken care of. Because I ride on the road, but I must admit, each year, the amount of times that I have some sort of a brush with a car,
mm-hmm.
as much as they're trying to either run me off the road or see how close they can get to me, or
right.
just try to scare the bejeebers out of me because I'm one of them mammals.
Right. You're a mammal. That's right.
You know, let's run the mammal off the road. And it's been getting worse every year.
I agree that it has been. Well, you know, I'm also a strong believer that it has gotten worse as the size of the vehicles have increased.
For sure.
And the growth of the American automobile in size, not in numbers that are out on the road, because there's actually less on the road than there used to be because the millennials aren't buying cars, but the growth of the car has become a real problem for people who walk or run or ride their bikes on the roads.
Also, the growth of the American person.
That's right. That's
well,
why they need those big vehicles, Fran.
Well, no, it's why they need the bicycles. You got it all backwards.
I was being facetious. facetious.
I know you were. I
well,
know.
And I could take you from how people's exercise and nutrition to why there's more aggression on the road. It's not just about the size of the vehicles.
Yeah.
It's because of how people are eating and not exercising.
Welcome to Sugarland.
It's Sugarland, yep. And well, the thing is, if you
magnesium.
Don't eat healthily, right? If you don't eat your produce, you're not going to get your calming minerals. You're not going to get your magnesium and your potassium, and your calcium, all of which are calming minerals. And people are rife with magnesium deficiency in this country, and magnesium is the peacemaker, you know. And so, I mean, our dear president could really stand a hefty dose of magnesium.
High doses, yes.
And the other thing that people don't get enough of is essential fatty acids. Mm. So if you're not eating your nuts and seeds and you're not eating your fish or you're not taking fish oil is also a peacemaker, or essential fatty acids are peacemakers. And so when people are eating a diet that's high in starch and sugar and CAFO meats and poultry, they're not getting their essential fatty acids.
For sure.
And it has to do with the nutrition, the way people are eating, and then also the fact that they're not moving. And when you don't move, it makes you cranky.
Right.
They're also driving cars which, compared to, say, the 1950s or 60s, the cars that are on the road today, even these big old trucks, can handle like Ferraris did back then. So
right.
People think they can drive
that's true.
Any way they want.
They drive trucks and truck-like vehicles like they're sports cars. You're absolutely right. Yep.
I know. I got rented on a couple of occasions. I got rented a big SUV, like a good-sized SUV, a GMC Acadia. It's a big car. And I'm like, wow. And I was annoyed that I was given this to rent. Well, one occasion I needed it because I had to transport family. But a couple of times I was given these enormous vehicles as rental cars because they didn't have the compact cars on the lot. And I wound up driving them around, and they were really comfortable and easy to drive. And I'm a little woman. I had to, you know, climb to get into the driver's seat, but they were surprisingly easy to drive. They make it really easy to drive these enormous vehicles, and they're quite comfortable, I have to say. And I see why people are into it.
And so people are driving like maniacs because they're so isolated from the road in terms of the experience. I don't think they even realize what they're doing half the time. I would like to add one thing to something that Ron said about millennials, that there are less cars on the road because millennials are not driving as many cars. Statistically, that's true. What I would add to that is that depends on where you live. If you're in an urban
environment,
there are less cars that are going to be on the road. And I think as we go through time, we're going to see a lot less cars in the urban environment. But out here, everybody's got multiple vehicles.
Oh, they do. Yeah, you're right. And you also live in a town that has a population of, I'm going to try to be kind here, a population of people who really like their old muscle cars.
Oh, yeah.
And you know who I'm speaking of, and know what I mean.
Yes.
So, you know, that in point is, you know, bringing back to the, and remember how big those cars were?
Oh, yeah.
You know what? They're bigger now.
Yes, they are.
I think they're bigger now than they were back in the 70s. I really do. And it goes back to that whole size of vehicle problem that I think has created a horribly aggressive climate with the people who are driving motorized vehicles that don't like bicycles because they can't get around them. And the reason they can't get around them is they're driving too big a car.
Also, cars are like a suit; they represent you. And when people are driving these huge, monstrous vehicles, spewing smoke on the road, that's because it represents their personality.
Boy, I'm not impressed.
The car is big. They're big. They can bully people around.
Right.
Run the mammal over, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Run the mammal over. Exactly. Hey, I'm going to have to let you go. We're
all
coming
right
towards the end of the show here. Thank you so much for listening and for calling in. We really appreciate your feedback.
You're welcome.
And
helmets on.
What's that?
Keep those helmets on.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Very good.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, so we are actually running out of time here, so I've got a few other things I wanted to talk to. We might bring up a little bit more of this in the next show. We'll just kind of see what I didn't get to, and we can talk a little bit more about it. Again, if you would like to comment on this, you can reach me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. I'd love to hear your comments on this. And you can also visit the Facebook page, Bicycle Talk, and that will also guide you towards any comments or questions you may have about what we have talked about here today. So we have a few things coming up, upcoming events. The very last cyclocross race of the Connecticut series is Elm City Cross. It is on December 17th, and it is in New Haven. So if you want to know more about that, you can go to ctseriesofcx.com, or you can go to Bike Reg, and you can get more information about the final race. Cross Nationals this year are in Reno, Nevada, January 9th through the 14th, 2018. Very similar to the Hartford races as far as the time goes. And that should be interesting because Reno could be snowier than Hartford was last year. So you never know. Reno has possibilities for interesting weather. Another thing I want to bring up, and I have been in conversation with, is the North American Hand-Built Show. The Hand-Built Show is the world's largest show for custom-built bicycles. And it's gearing up for its 2018 show, taking place in Hartford, Connecticut, right here, February 16th through the 18th at the Connecticut Convention Center. It's an annual three-day event which changes venues each year, but this year it's being held in New England for the first time in the show's 14-year history. So that is the North American Handmade Bicycle Show. And you can find out more about that at nahbs.com. I will be speaking with representatives from that show, and hopefully we'll be broadcasting live from that show if things work out well here. We're just going to kind of see how this all works out, but I am in conversation with them right now about their upcoming event. It's very exciting. It's a big event. It's going to be in Hartford, February 16th through the 18th. I will mention it each week on the show as we get closer to it. My name is Pedalin' Ron, and you have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you want to reach us, you can reach me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. If you'd like to contribute to or be on the show as a guest, please contact me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep that rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS, Storrs.